In a national television interview, Governor Walker said the John Doe investigation has been resolved and yielded no charges. Case over. His comments followed the release of documents that showed prosecutors accused Walker of illegally coordinating campaign activities during the 2011 and 2012 recall elections. The John Doe prosecutors alleged that Governor Walker was at the center of a criminal scheme. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. In our state capitol report this hour, we will get two takes on that allegation. Our first guest columnist says Governor Walker's record is clean, but that his name is being smeared. Our second guest will maintain that this probe is not a partisan witch hunt and that the investigation should continue. And we will welcome your thoughts and questions. And your take, too, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our first guest, Christian Schneider, a columnist with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. His piece on the release of the John Doe documents is called Zero Evidence of a Walker Criminal Scheme. Good morning.
Hi, Joy. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being on. So what do you mean, zero evidence of a criminal scheme?
Well, that piece was written almost as the news was breaking on Thursday, where, you know, there's this document dump from the John Doe investigation. A lot of them, you know, the court filings that we hadn't seen before. And so a lot of what the media was doing was kind of rushing through these documents, and they found this this portion where prosecutors at one point had alleged, you know, Walker was part of this criminal scheme to coordinate with these outside groups. And so that kind of became the big story of the day. And so nationwide, you had these big blaring headlines, prosecutors, Scott Walker, part of a criminal scheme, when in fact one important part of that is the fact that prosecutors had made that charge, but a month later a judge had struck it down. And then even beyond that, a federal judge then came in and shut the investigation down, saying that it had violated the First Amendment rights of many of the people that the investigation was targeting. So without that information, it seemed pretty odd that that would be going on.
Yeah. Well, a couple of judges did say there's no probable cause or no laws were broken.
Right.
But the prosecutors and others would say, well, no, we were investigating whether Walker and his campaign were violating a state law on the books that said there cannot be this coordination.
Right. Well, but, you know, if you were just a layperson who was sitting in Washington, D.C. or whatever, and you saw this headline, you'd say, whoa, the prosecutors are closing in on Scott Walker. He's in a lot of trouble, without realizing that, yeah, this whole thing has been shut down, at least for the time being. It's under it's under appeal right now, but it seems a little strange that now Scott Walker's being retried for something that's been shut down, as if the standard is now, well, as long as a prosecutor makes an allegation, then suddenly that's enough to convict Scott Walker in the court of public opinion, which is, you know, kind of not how things work.
Yeah, but the judge shut it down. It is under appeal. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's PolitiFact feature said that the statement that this is over is just false. It's not over.
Right. The Seventh District Court of Appeals could come back with a different decision than Judge Randa, who's in the Federal Eastern Court District of Wisconsin. He shut the investigation down in a pretty aggressive decision a month ago, and so that's been appealed. And of course, that could be overturned. But that same court just a month ago also issued another opinion in a case brought by Wisconsin Right to Life, essentially invalidating much of the same statute that is being used by the prosecution against Governor Walker in the case that's currently on hold. So I don't, you know, it's hard to read the tea leaves on court decisions, but it looks like the prosecution here may be in for a long haul.
Yeah. Well, let's suppose that that you're right. How does it look when Governor Walker in these emails or these documents, we see an email that he's emailing Karl Rove talking about how R.J. Johnson is leading the coordination efforts. How do you think that goes over?
Well, I don't know that he necessarily said R.J. Johnson's leading coordination efforts. He says, you know, the whole case rests on the fact that R.J. Johnson worked for Scott Walker and he worked for these other groups like Club for Growth. And, you know, so he acknowledges to Karl Rove, which, I mean, you just throw the name Karl Rove in there and it immediately makes it all evil. He acknowledges to Karl Rove that R.J. Johnson is running, you know, this other network of groups. But in and of itself, that's not necessarily evidence of, you know, quote-unquote coordination. In fact, Judge Randa, in shutting it down, said, really, there's no evidence of coordination here. But even if there was, these groups are able to operate outside the state law. They're not covered by Chapter 11 of the state campaign finance statute. So even if there was some coordination, which there's no evidence of, but if there was, then that would be okay too.
Yeah. Well, we heard Governor Walker on Fox and Friends on Friday saying that all the headlines that we saw last week about the criminal scheme and the allegations were the whole investigation was being done because he thought the media were willing allies in trying to make things hard on him. What's your reaction to that?
I don't know if the media was necessarily out to get him, but I think they saw this this one piece of this one document dump and kind of ran with it. And you know, a lot of these national media outlets, they don't necessarily see kind of the nuance or know the history of it, so they just kind of spun it in a way that I don't know that they were necessarily, you know, going after him, but it made for a good story that somehow, you know, Scott Walker is in trouble with prosecutors, when here in Wisconsin we know that that's no longer the case.
Yeah. He noted, the governor, that he's in a tough re-election race this year. How do you see this affecting the race for governor?
I don't know that it's going to have all that much of an effect. I mean, in the recall election, we saw that, you know, at that point he was already under investigation with the first John Doe, and a lot of the details from that, where, you know, his staff was alleged to have been doing campaign work on the public time. A lot of those details were all out there, and yet he won famously the recall election by more than he had in 2010 against the same opponent. So I think a lot of those details were already known, and it didn't affect it at all. And in this case, in the John Doe 2, I think it's going to be probably a lot of the same, where, you know, people know these details. As they start to learn more about them, they're going to realize that nothing bad or nothing illegal, at least, probably happened here. And so I don't know that it's going to affect it all that much. In fact, our newspaper just this weekend said that the his promise to create 250,000 jobs might actually have more an effect with voters than the John Doe investigation.
We are talking with Christian Schneider. He's a columnist with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He wrote a piece on the release of the John Doe documents last week, saying there is zero evidence of Governor Walker being at the center of some criminal scheme. And we wonder what you think and whether you think this is going to affect the race for governor. Has your opinion of Governor Walker changed at all as this John Doe story unfolds? Or do you side with the governor and his supporters, thinking that this is just some partisan witch hunt and that no laws were broken and that this thing is over? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm not sure I can believe this or not. Our lines are open. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the State Capitol Report here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking in this half of the State Capitol Report with Christian Schneider, who's a columnist with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who's talking about Governor Walker having a clean record when it comes to this campaign finance law, John Doe document release, but says that his name is being smeared. Our second guest will maintain that this investigation is not a partisan witch hunt and that it should continue. We will be talking with Jay Heck, Executive Director of Common Cause Wisconsin, coming up after 7:30. So, Christian, what's your general response to Jay Heck saying that this is not some partisan witch hunt and that the investigation needs to continue?
Yeah, I mean, that's actually one of the allegations that groups like Club for Growth, kind of the defendants in all of this, are making, is that, I mean, they found tons of examples of where coordination was going on between groups on the left at the same time. All these groups, Greater Wisconsin Committee and the Citizens to Recall Scott Walker, whatever it was called, there are all kinds of examples where these groups all kind of coordinated to help recall Scott Walker, and yet at the same time, they're not the ones being investigated. It's only Scott Walker. So I think there probably is some merit to that. It's hard to make the case. Well, everybody was doing it, and so therefore it's okay. But at the same time, it seemed like the idea that Walker is being prosecuted for this seems a little unfair to these groups.
Let's go to Glenn in Fond du Lac. Hello, Glenn.
Yes, good morning. The question I had is Governor Walker's lawyer. His wife works for Judge Randa, does she not? And shouldn't he have recused himself on that? I mean, the guy has done some other things. Right now he's listening to the Archdiocese, or he did, and he ruled against the victims of sexual abuse from the Catholic Church, stated that the Archdiocese could put away or hide $60 million in a trust fund.
Glenn, I'm afraid I don't want to veer too far from our subject, and that might take us off focus. But there are many that say Judge Randa has his own political beliefs and that he's gone on so-called junkets funded by the Koch brothers, and that this is there's all sorts of conflict of interest going on here. What do you say to that, Christian?
Yeah, well, obviously the prosecutors in this case have their political beliefs as well. But the rules for recusal for judges are very specific, and it's essentially just up to the judge. So I can't really comment on whether Judge Randa should have recused himself or not.
Yeah, the governor, said the Democrat prosecutors are going after me, and one of them says, "Hey, wait a minute, I voted for George Bush, and I'm not a Democrat. What about that?"
Well, yeah, the initial charge was that John Chisholm, who's the Milwaukee County DA, who's kind of leading this whole thing, is a Democrat, and that he's he's got staffers that had the recall Scott Walker signs in their yards and all that stuff. So what they did in John Doe 2 was essentially get Francis Schmitz, who's at least doesn't have the taint of being a Democrat on him, to leave this. But a lot of the work that has been done in this has essentially been done by Chisholm's office and these other county offices. So, regardless of whatever political party Schmitz is, this is still kind of a bogus case against Walker, in my opinion.
Let's go to Phil in Sheboygan next. Hello, Phil.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I do agree that I think that the coverage of the headlines in particular that were written up both in Wisconsin and nationally did tend to portray that Walker is being guilty of something rather than that prosecutors were alleging him of something. Quite often they would just say something, the headline might say something like prosecutors, colon, Walker part of criminal scheme, and then you'd have to read down into the actual article for a couple of paragraphs to realize that what they actually were saying was that the prosecutors were alleging as part of the investigation that he was part of a criminal scheme rather than a foregone conclusion that he'd been found guilty. So I did think that the way the headlines were written did tend to leave that impression. I think Walker was right about that.
Mm-hmm. And you agree with that, Christian?
Yeah, and I think the people that might be most disappointed are those on the left who saw these headlines and said, all right, we're ready to get Scott Walker, and then only to find out, oh, yeah, by the way, this is not really happening, that the investigation has been shut down. I mean, I said in another piece that Democrats were essentially chasing the ghost of John Doe because it was no longer, at least for now, no longer active.
Yeah, and you put in the caveat, at least for now, but the governor is saying that, this is over, no charges, done deal. He's being hopeful by saying that.
Yeah, I mean, the court could certainly come back with a, bringing the investigation back on, but, courts don't usually work that quickly. And so at least for the time being, it could be a while before they get to this.
Yeah. But, I mean, is it fair to say, Christian, that the John Doe investigators, from what they were obtaining, believed there was illegal activity going on according to state law, and that the judges said, well, we don't think that state law was legal, and therefore we're shutting this down?
Right. I think that's fair. I think the prosecutors are saying that under Chapter 11 of the state laws that Scott Walker may have illegally coordinated, but there's a mountain of case law that says that these groups that run issue ads or so-called issue ads are exempt from state law, from all the reporting requirements and all the registration requirements and all that. So because they're not touched in any way by state law, the state law saying that coordination is illegal is also not valid in this case. So, there are still statutes that say that, but they've been invalidated by the courts. And so the prosecutors are essentially using statutes, kind of dead statutes that are no longer enforceable.
Well, Jay Heck from Common Cause says even if issue advocacy rules apply here, such coordination is illegal because it constitutes a political contribution to a candidate. And that's why he says this investigation needs to continue. What do you say to his point?
Right. Well, that's the exact case that the prosecution is making, that a contribution to one of these groups then amounts to a contribution to Friends of Scott Walker. But as I said, these groups weren't engaging in what they call express advocacy, which is to go out and say vote for or vote against Scott Walker. They were engaging in issue advocacy, which the courts, and we've seen it from Citizens United on, have said that that's protected free speech, and it's not state law cannot regulate those types of communications during election season, and that essentially amounts to, regulating free speech during an election season.
Sheree in Waupun. Hi, Sheree. We just have a minute or so.
Certainly. Thank you so much for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I think it's really amazing that the people that Scott Walker has been investigated pretty much since he took office, him or the people immediately surrounding him, We've had convictions. We've had plea deals. And, you know, now that something has come out directly linking Scott Walker to it, he wants us to believe it's now the media's fault. The media shouldn't be focusing on this, when in actuality it seems like there's a lot to investigate yet. And it's where there's usually smoke, there's fire.
All right. 30 seconds, Christian. Sorry for a response to that.
Yeah, well, the court filings from from groups like the Club for Growth show that how this essentially started with Scott Walker saying, there was a small issue of people stealing money in his, that worked for him when he was county executive, and how it's blossomed into what it is now. And that's kind of the case that they make, that this is well beyond the initial scope of whatever they were trying to investigate.
Yeah, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Yeah, thanks, Joy.
Christian Schneider, columnist with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. His piece, Zero Evidence of a Walker Criminal Scheme, is posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Another perspective after the news. We just heard Milwaukee Journal Sentinel columnist Christian Schneider tell us there's no evidence Governor Walker was at the center of a criminal scheme to circumvent campaign finance law, as alleged in the John Doe documents released last week. In this half of our State Capitol Report, we'll get a different perspective. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We will welcome your questions and your perspectives, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our next guest is Jay Heck, Executive Director of Common Cause Wisconsin. His recent piece is called Political Bombshell in Wisconsin, Governor Scott Walker at Center of Criminal Scheme. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. So do you think this really is a political bombshell?
Well, you know, prior to last week, Joy, I think most people in Wisconsin were aware that there was a John Doe, a secret investigation, and that they were investigating possible illegal coordination between Governor Walker's campaign and outside groups. And I don't think people really thought much about that because so much of the information had not been out there. But after the release of the documents from last week, in part because one of the parties who's been trying to quash the investigation, Wisconsin Club for Growth, at their urging, we now know, at least from the documents that were released, that Governor Scott Walker was very much in the center of all the activity in 2011 and certainly 2012, his own recall election, and was, at least from the documents, apparently in communication with a number of individuals who were working closely or even running outside groups. And so it's criminal because under Wisconsin law, and unlike what Christian Schneider said, Wisconsin law is pretty clear about coordination between outside groups and campaigns, and it's illegal to be coordinating your own campaign with an outside group, irrespective of whether or not they use express advocacy. And just so your listeners know what that is, that's express advocacy or communications that say vote for, vote against, defeat, support. Clearly, you know, designed to tell people how to vote or not to vote. But Wisconsin law is not limited to expressions of express advocacy when it comes to what could constitute illegal coordination. So bottom line is that, I think the charges are obviously very serious and have national implications.
But Christian Schneider and Governor Walker and his supporters say No crime was committed here. Two judges have halted this investigation.
Well, two judges, Gregory Peterson in January, quashed the subpoena to the Walker campaign and some of these outside groups. But he did it because he thought, and what he said in quashing that was, he said it seemed to him that the direction of where law was going was that unless it involved express advocacy, it couldn't be considered illegal coordination. Now, That's a theory. It's a legal theory. It's not the law in Wisconsin. It's not the law in the United States. It may be where the courts are headed. It may be where the United States Supreme Court ultimately decides to do, although I doubt it. But he was just going along with the argument that this is sort of a legal theory and really not based in law. Judge Randa as well, and of course, I think people need to realize that Judge Randa not only ordered the investigation halted, but he ordered the destruction of the documents, the evidentiary documents, with the halting of the investigation, and that was quickly, the next day, I believe, stopped by the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago. So this is hardly over. These are simply stops on the way of a process, and you know the process isn't over until the last appellate court rules. And there are some who have suggested that the last appellate court, regardless of what the Seventh Circuit says, may be the United States Supreme Court. So far from being over, this is really, in some ways, only getting started.
Jay, talk a little bit about why it is what happened or what is alleged to have happened during these recalls, the activity of coordination. Why that's illegal? What's wrong with what happened?
Sure. You know, if you are running your own campaign, you're making certain decisions about how to spend your money, you know, the placement of communications and ads, the printing of brochures. And for many years, the courts have given great freedom and leeway for outside independent organizations, and the key is independent organizations, to be able to act as long as they're not in consultation with you and as long as there's not coordination of activities, for those outside groups to be able to pretty much run unlimited expenditure. Certainly the Citizens United decision opened the door for corporations and unions to even use their treasuries to be able to run those expenditures. But Wisconsin law and federal law has also said consistently, and this is something that has not been overturned, although I think it's being challenged, or one of the reasons why Wisconsin Club for Growth is they're interested in trying to overturn this as well. But what those laws have said is that you cannot coordinate your activities because it constitutes a contribution, something of value to the campaign. If Governor Walker or Mary Burke know what the other outside groups are doing and they're in discussion with these outside groups about placement of ads or where to spend money, you know, in different places, then that's a real value to the campaigns of Walker or Burke or any other candidate. And those have to be reported. They have to be count as contributions, and law has consistently said that you can limit contributions to candidates. So once you start coordinating, the freedom that you're given as an independent group is lost. And by the way, that was affirmed even in the decision that Christian just recently cited, the Wisconsin Right to Life decision in 2014. Which did challenge some other aspects of Wisconsin's finance law, but said basically independent groups have a different status, a more free status than groups that are in coordination with a campaign. So the issue is, and so that is illegal under Wisconsin law. I could cite for you the the statute in Chapter 11. Christian was really quite incorrect when he said that Chapter 11 doesn't count these issue ad groups. Those issue ad groups are providing something of value to candidates and are subject to the law, and they're subject to reporting the work that they do as a contribution. And it doesn't take a genius to see why, Joy, because if this decision stands, if the Randa decision stands, it means the effective end of contribution limits altogether. Because you could give $10,000 to Burke or to Walker, and then you could go to the Walker or Burke campaign and say, well, I've given you that money. Now I could spend maybe, I don't know, a couple hundred thousand to help you out. Tell me where I should spend it. Why would anyone give a contribution directly to Walker or Burke if they can then just, you know, hang up the phone and then call again and say, okay, I'm now ready to put money to spend outside for you? That's coordination, and That we have, we're nowhere in the United States. The U.S. Supreme Court has not said that that's okay. No court has gone that far. This is really a legal theory being put forward, and it's really an outlier theory. I don't actually think that even the Roberts Court, for all of the deregulation that it's done, is going to go that far. And so that's why I think this thing is very, very serious. I have not heard Governor Walker or his people deny the coordination. Their defense seems to be based on the fact that because it's not express advocacy and it's issue advocacy, it's okay. And I just don't think that the courts are going to agree with that.
Yeah, so you're calling for the investigation to continue, or at least the court action to continue. What questions in your mind have not been answered yet?
Well, I mean, I think just as a result of the dump of the documents, what was Governor Walker's involvement in the coordination? I mean, I think the facts of the case are only now just coming out to the public. They have been known, obviously, to the prosecutors, but in the John Doe investigation, they are not permitted to talk about it. And it's only because these documents had to be released because of legal maneuverings that we know about this. I think the people of Wisconsin deserve to know the truth, and you shouldn't just short-circuit an investigation because you don't like some of the facts of the case. And it's important to know whether or not Governor Walker's campaign broke the law. So the investigation needs to continue until it's complete, not because it's inconvenient during an election season for one side or the other and may affect their political fortunes. The law doesn't operate in concert with the political calendar.
We need to take a short break, and then we will continue talking and take your calls for Jay Heck, Executive Director of Common Cause Wisconsin, talking with him about his recent piece, Political Bombshell in Wisconsin, Governor Scott Walker at Center of Criminal Scheme. We're talking about the release of those John Doe documents last week and some of the political fallout, and we are welcoming your thoughts and questions, too. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are getting the second of two takes on the John Doe documents that where prosecutors allege that Governor Walker was at the center of a criminal scheme to circumvent campaign finance law during the 2012 recall election. And we welcome your questions and your views on this for Jay Heck, Executive Director of Common Cause Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Jim in Milwaukee is with us first for Jay Heck. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, good morning. I think, first of all, Governor Walker made a mistake when he didn't do the Lois Lerner thing and just crash the hard drives. It's just that, you know, the way the government got their information for the Walker investigation compared to that with the Mid-Dawn raid and all that stuff compared to just being asked, that's pretty amazing. You know, this must be much more grievous an offense. But if, as your guest says, this is all illegal, perfectly cut and dry, what is taking Chisholm so long to take him to court? If it's just, if you're saying over and over again, this is illegal, why are we sitting here discussing this?
How come it's taking so long?
Well, we only found out last week what the facts of the case are. It's true that Chisholm and the prosecutors have been looking into it, but these things take a long time. You want to investigate any criminal allegation very thoroughly and very seriously. You don't just sort of immediately jump on it and, you know, issue a verdict and charge somebody. So it's John Doe investigations, and there haven't been many of them in Wisconsin. But, you know, I think one thing you need to know is how a John Doe investigation works. This isn't a bunch of prosecutors sitting around and saying, oh, let's go on a fishing expedition. The way they work is that they are presented with evidence of illegal activity. And then if they decide to go ahead and investigate it, it's because they have some pretty strong evidence that there has been illegal activity. And then you have to, the law takes a long time. You have to actually go through the process. And, some of these things take a couple of years. It's just the nature of the beast. And the political calendar, it does not run concurrently with the legal calendar. So it's not Chisholm. It's Francis Schmitz, and it's two Republican district attorneys, along with Chisholm and two other Democratic district attorneys. That's the other thing, that this has been characterized as a partisan witch hunt. It's anything but that. These are people who are supposed to investigate in a non-partial way, and that's the process. You may not like it, and you may think it's politically motivated, but I can assure you it is not.
Well, just to briefly react to the comment about the raids, the Wisconsin Club for Growth said part of the reasons they wanted the documents unsealed is so that we could see how prosecutors allegedly abused their power, including early morning raids at the homes of several targets. What about that?
Well, look, I mean, if there's when you're gathering evidence in a criminal investigation, I mean, I don't know that there's a polite, sweet way to do that. I think part of the problem lies in committing the offense in the first place. And if there's evidence that there was an offense committed, then you can expect that there's going to be often strong measures that are used to gather that evidence. And, that's the nature of not just a John Doe investigation, but any criminal investigation. And this is a criminal investigation.
Yeah. Thanks, Jim. Next, we go to David in Boscobel. Hi, David.
Hi. My question is for Jay. Jay, my concern about, your spin on this was evident when you said, suggested that because the governor hasn't denied that he coordinated, he, in fact, is admitting to coordinating. And I don't know, under any investigation where anybody that's a target of an investigation is going to say, oh, yeah, if a prosecutor says, they have this allegation, and if I don't admit to it, then, or if I don't deny it, then I'm, in fact, saying that I'm guilty of it. And that's just, to me, suggests evidence that there's some bias going on in your presentation today. And I'll take my comment off the air. Thank you.
The documents came out last Thursday, and thus far, all I said was that there haven't been the issue that Governor Walker and people in his campaign supporters have said is that the issue is that illegal coordination did not occur because it was issue advocacy. At least to my knowledge, I haven't heard any dispute of the facts that were laid out last Thursday. But of course, there's an assumption of innocence until proven guilty. That should go without saying. I should have said that, I suppose, to clarify it. But again, this is all fairly new in the public arena in terms of what is known and what's not known, and that's why you have a process that needs to examine these facts in detail and ascertain their veracity, their truth.
Yeah, Governor Walker has said in his national interviews that that there was nothing, that this was over, that judges didn't think any laws were broken. He mentioned that it was a partisan witch hunt in a way. He also said that big government forces and special interests were, I guess, trying to hurt him politically, and that he's not gonna back down. What's your reaction to big government forces and special interests and the media are trying to topple him?
Well, I mean, I don't think there's any question that Governor Walker has a lot of people that don't like his policies and oppose him politically. But they weren't the ones engaged in possible illegal coordination. I mean, Governor Walker and Wisconsin Club for Growth and R.J. Johnson and all the other folks that have been named and talked about, I mean, they're the ones that brought this on, apparently because they felt they could challenge these laws against coordination and would prevail because they weren't using express advocacy. So to suddenly turn it around and blame all of his political opponents for the predicament that he's in, I think is highly disingenuous. It just doesn't ring true. And I just think ultimately that this legal theory that they're depending upon is just not going to stand.
David in San Francisco is with us.
Yeah, morning. You know, this reminds me of, if I remember right, just before the election last year, the Supreme Court in California met, and it was the weekend before the election. If I remember right, it was actually on a Sunday, and they found that the Koch brothers had illegally contributed, if I remember right, it was $11 million to California the marriage amendment, and that was on the ballot, and that they had illegally contributed. My original question,
David, we were almost out of time. What is the connection to our discussion of that?
Well, in my original question was whether or not the Citizens United ruling was ex post facto. In other words, it gave the money back to the crooks. And whether or not Walker's plea of innocence is based upon the idea that Citizens United not only gave secret money donations to campaigns, but that in doing so, it gives the money back to those that had done it previously.
It's pretty complicated for the
sure.
1 minute
well,
we have for you to respond to that, Jay.
But that's not what this case is about. This case is about illegal coordination. And nowhere in Citizens United does it say coordination's okay with issue ad groups. Nowhere in any court decision. In fact, there's court decisions in Wisconsin that have said just the opposite, a 1999 court decision. So it's well established precedent that there cannot be coordination between outside groups with a candidate's campaign. That's really what the issue is here, and that's what this case will be decided on one way or the other. I just think it would be highly unfortunate and really a travesty of justice if it just ends because, one side doesn't like the set of facts that have been presented here. That's why we have a process. This is going to go on to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago. Look, I think sides are divided about what that court will do, but I cannot imagine that they would rule that the alleged illegal coordination that occurred in Wisconsin would stand, because it would mean, as I said before, the end of contribution limits, and I don't think any court is willing to go there yet.
Thank you very much, Jay, for being with us.
Thank you so much, Joy.
Jay Heck, Executive Director of Common Cause Wisconsin. His recent piece, Political Bombshell in Wisconsin, Governor Scott Walker at Center of Criminal Scheme, is posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. In our first half hour, we heard from Christian Schneider, columnist with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, about his piece, Zero Evidence of a Walker Criminal Scheme. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Justin Williams, and to Cynthia Schuster for producing and directing this hour. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. Coming up tomorrow at this time, our guest journalism and political science expert will discuss how we trust the media, or do we? That's coming up tomorrow at this time.